that I love all people, rich or poor, but in those particular positions, I just don't want a poor person. Does that make sense?
Hello, this is Russ Williams over here.
I'm John O'Coleman over here.
And we are
Russ and John
There you go.
There's the budget on the show, blind. Yes.
There you go. People may remember that choral jingle. Oh. There's quite a few of our jingles that we have our undercover helpers that we used originally on the show trying to find. But I kind of like that we're bringing the Russ and Jono Breakfast Experience rebooted podcast a bit more 2018.
Russ, I see it as we're retooling the whole thing. We've rebooted it. And the thing is, in that kind of DIY tradition of Russ and Jono, if we can't find things, we just make them anew.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, like we go back to the old files of some of our jokes and some of our humour. And of course, we did a number of outside broadcasts. We went around the world.
What about all those stars we interviewed?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I honestly can't remember them all.
No, but some of them are no longer.
We did the show, if you remember, we did the show in front of an audience, didn't we? For about a year.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also remember that we went and did things with, like, with in Ireland. Remember we did those the Scottish shows, the Irish shows? We used to go to the Edinburgh.
The one in Dublin.
Oh, my goodness, that was fantastic.
That was Brian Kennedy was the guy who came in and sang, "Got the message in the box," the Carl Wallinger song.
Yeah.
And he was great, but we did it from a pub, right, on St. Patrick's Day.
Famous pub.
In Dublin, right? We'd had a big night out before.
Yeah.
Now, of course, what do you associate with St. Patrick's Day and Dublin? Guinness. Now, the only problem was that the sponsors of this broadcast were
not
Murphy's.
Guinness. Murphy's Stout.
So we had to do the whole show, keeping people off the air, not allowed to mention the black stuff and what have you. And it was all going really well.
Yeah.
And we were a bit hungover, in fact, straight on it.
We've been doing research.
Until Frank Carson, bless him, turned up. Oh, my God.
What a fantastic
funny.
Man. The late Frank Carson.
Talk about a chuckle brother number three.
Wow. He was
what
just amazing.
A bloke.
Because, I mean, I'd seen Frank Carson all the time. He used to watch it on Crinkly Bottom with Noel Edmonds, which is another story.
Comedians in the 70s,
it's the way I tell him.
Yeah.
It's a cracker.
And he was just amazing. And he was like a machine gun gangster, wasn't
and he's
he?
The only... He was the gangster of love. He was the gangster of gags. Machine gun gangster.
He was such a lovely man. But, I mean, that was a great show.
Can I tell one of his jokes?
Oh, please do. What? An homage.
An homage,
as we look to the sky.
Hello.
To Frank.
Sir Frank.
It's the way you told him.
Yeah, it's a cracker. Well, I remember he was on the show. There we were in this pub, a darkened pub basement. It was St. Patrick's Day, Paddy's Day. And as Russ was saying, we had Brian
Not
Kennedy.
Allowed to mention Guinness.
No.
Very difficult.
Exactly. Even though when people on the phone were saying, hey, Russ, Jono, sounds like you had a few too many Guinness. No, Murphy's. Murphy's, you idiot. Yes. Anyway, so the lovely Frank Carson comes in. I said, you got any jokes for us, Frank? Just a joke, just a little joke. He goes, let's see what I got here for it. Oh, well, actually, two little Irish lads go to have a pub lunch. Sean and Seamus decide to go into a pub, and there's a beautiful blonde barmaid behind the bar. And Sean says to Seamus, what are you going to have for lunch? He looks up at the blackboard menu there, and he goes, I tell you what, Seamus, I wouldn't mind one of those quickies. And the blonde barmaid slaps him around the face. Oh, why'd you do that? And he goes, it's pronounced quiche. Classic.
Get on, Frank.
Classic.
It was great. Dublin. We were wrecked.
Oh my God.
We were wrecked.
I don't even remember going to the airport to get the plane back to London.
Oh, I do. Because I went to the duty-free.
Oh.
And there was a drink that was cream and black. And the bottle was split in half.
I remember that.
Right, do you remember it?
Yeah.
I had one swig of it. And I found it in my drinks cupboard the other day. Literally, it's still there. That's obviously it's off.
It was like a kind of...
Because I only drink beer.
But it was like a coffee liqueur, wasn't it? Like one part of the
sort
bottle
of
was
Bailey's
brown.
Coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, it was disgusting.
It was like what your head's like the next morning after you've been out with a number of people drinking too much.
Yeah. Talking of people being out of control, we thought it was going to be great because we were sent to Barbados for the opening of a resort called the Almond Beach Village. I was... To be totally honest with you, very aware that if we're broadcasting from Barbados, we would get British breakfast show time, 6 to 10, was really 1 in the morning until 5. You hadn't quite worked that out.
No.
But I was swung by the, I think, seven-hole mini-golf course at the front of the hotel.
Because you're a swinger. You're a swinger, that's fine.
Well, it's up to you.
I said, Russ Williams, swinger. Just
be very careful. I've still got a good lawyer.
You know, also, the thing was, when they said we're going to the Ormond Beach Resort, I said, oh, wow, we're going to meet the Ormond Brothers.
No.
It's obviously their
Ormond
hotel.
Ormond in the nuts.
Yeah, I know.
But talking of which, do you want me to check your walnut?
Yeah, well, no, it's fine.
All right.
Actually, I just
reached
that
rubber glove out again.
I can't even feel them.
Anyway, so we did the show with a load of competition winners. Fabulous people.
We won
a trip to come to Barbados with us.
When did we go to sleep, though?
Well, I can tell you exactly what happened. We would sleep after the show, which, you know, we'd wake up at about 10:30. Trev, the hippie producer, would say, right, we've got to go out and do some interviews, and you and me, you know.
Oh, my God.
We needed that like a hole in the head. Then we had to sleep before the show, so we used to go to Happy Hour for the cocktails. Mm. I mean, it's an all-inclusive hotel.
Yeah.
About 4 o'clock in the afternoon, strawberry daiquiris and sick-coloured cocktail. They're dreadful
things. And it was bedtime.
And then we go to bed, and then we wake up feeling like terrible.
But all you could hear outside through the windows,
people enjoying themselves.
It's like people splashing in the pool.
On a Caribbean holiday.
And I'm sort of lying in my sort of little room going, what the hell? There's a sound of swimming pool sound effects, and it wasn't sound effects. It was real people having a proper holiday when Russ and John were sleeping.
Yeah. So when we eventually got to do the show, we had to do 5 breakfast shows. It started at 1 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Our listeners were required to be there. I don't know if you remember the state they were in. There was people vomiting brightly coloured cocktails all over the chairs at this beautiful new resort. I mean, they were out of control.
Well, because it was the middle of the night.
We were hungover.
Yeah.
And they were still drunk.
And then people in London and all over the UK listening to the Virgin Breakfast Show with us were sort of going, Russ and Jono sound a little bit off their rails.
Off the base.
It's like we've been sleeping all afternoon in the bright sunlight, trying to get some sleep with the sound of lots of Newcastle United fans jumping in the swimming pool going, hey, 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 hey.
How are Russ and Jono? What's that? Milky Brown.
And then we have to do these radio shows and take phone calls. It's like a bit of a blur, but I do remember.
Great experience.
That, I think Carol McGiffin, who you sometimes see on Loose Women.
Former wife of Chris Evans.
Chris Evans.
Yeah. And a producer of ours.
She was a producer of ours. She's going, oh, shut up, you idiot.
She used to laugh at us. Yeah. And one day, David Campbell, Rambo Cambo, the big boss, he called us into the office and he said, if I hear Carol McGiffin laughing like a hyena on your show again, I'm going to sack her. I said, well, why is that? He said, I don't like it. I mean, that's the lunacy of deranged radio bosses at the time.
They're supposed to laugh. People laugh, hopefully.
But her laugh was like the Wicked Witch of the West. Anyway, who do you think, straight off the top of your head, best guest we ever had, and we had hundreds?
Oh, I think I took away something from everyone that we had. And more ways than one, I sometimes took away things from hotel rooms.
Oh, yes.
Because they have
Dorchester jelly beans.
They did those junket things.
Yeah.
So basically, whenever you went to interview someone, whether it was Howard Stern, Or John Bon Jovi.
Dinah Ross we did in the Dorchester.
Dinah Ross. Oh,
in her private suite. She was lovely.
She was beautiful.
But we did raid her minibar.
Well, but
with
I
her
think
permission.
We were upfront about it. That was the thing with Russ and Jono. We were slightly dodgy, a bit wishy-washy, a bit this, bit that. And we would say, oh, Dinah, we're just going to take these jelly beans from your hotel room, because they were in those hotels, they were charging like about 15 or 16 quid just for a thing of jelly beans. And we took those, and she was going, oh, Russ and Jono, you're terrible, you're bad boys. Which we loved.
Ain't no mountain high enough for you to.
Yes.
Yeah, that, which reminds me of the Round the World trip with DHL. Ain't no mountain, well, come on, that's a whole podcast. That
I remember when I was going to get that, I was going to get Dinah's second thing of jelly beans. She said, stop.
Okay, time for a Russ and Jono 30-second edit, a classic song butchered by our producer. We only play 30 seconds maximum, not a millisecond more. Otherwise, we have to pay.
This is Alastair Stewart for the Russ and Jono rebooted podcast, so much better than the original. And frankly, if you listen to me, you'll see why I am so much better than either Edward Sisson's hands or Chanka Ghoulies. Thank you very much indeed.
It's Russ and Jono rebooted around the world and Whoopee. Right into your face. And a lady who I've known and Russ has known, and you probably know her if you've seen her
Madonna?
Byline. Not Madonna, not oh. Cher. Oh. Someone equally as important with okay. one name.
Who?
Nina.
Nina.
Not Nina, Nina and Nina and Frederick.
Nina who's married to Rick Wakeman?
No, no, no. It's Nina. Nina Mishkoff.
Oh, Nina Mishkoff.
Nina Mishkoff.
Hello, hello. Nina. And in fact, one day older than Cher. It's always annoyed me that I'm older than her. One day older.
Well, hang on a minute. I've got to pick you up on that, Nina, yeah. because Cher is... Is she 71 or something? 72?
72.
72, but her face is 34.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Good on her.
How
good
are you doing? Her. Thank you for joining us on Russ and Jono Rebooted, because you are a legend of... I mean, look, you do telly. You've yeah. recently been on The Right Stuff, and you're here, there and everywhere, but tabloid journalism is where you really, really first made your name, wasn't it?
Well, I did, but technically before that, I had started working on a teenage magazine called Jackie, which
we used to read that, yeah.
Yeah, back in the 70s, and it was produced by D.C. Thompson's and Dundee, a very traditional Scottish Presbyterian firm, yeah. and for some reason we all managed to put out a magazine that's to this day an iconic magazine. We sold over 1 million copies in the early 70s, and that was on the back of
wow.
the David Cassidy, Donny Osmond, Mark Bolan sort of teeny bop phase,
yeah.
And then I left that in the 70s, went down to London
yeah.
from Scotland where it was done, and became the rock writer on The Sun, and my byline was
you
the did. Queen of Pop.
Yeah, you were. You were.
Hilarious.
You were the Queen of Pop before Madonna was.
I was. That was my official title.
Yeah.
I had a wonderful time travelling the world, you know, interviewing rock stars. It was great fun. You know, Elton John, I went to China with, well, he wasn't a rock star, but Jean-Michel Jarre, I went to China with him, the first rock concerts in Europe, pseudo rock.
Oh.
I went to South America with Queen at Freddie Mercury's invitation.
Wow, I bet there's a lot of things in your little black
hang on,
book.
You just dropped
yeah,
the name,
I think
Nina.
Like, well, you got Jean-Michel Jarre, you've got Elton John, you've got Freddie Mercury.
Oh,
I mean, like, now that we've got the Freddie Mercury biopic coming out and everything.
Yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody, November, isn't it?
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Do you think that there's a lot of things and stories that you remember that you'll never be able to tell, really, just out of good taste?
No, I wish I could say that. I wish I had that kind of, rackety background. But mine was pretty straightforward. And most of the stories I'm happy to tell, and tell them endlessly until people are really okay. bored with them.
That's good.
That's good. That's like Russ and Jono.
Nina, I got a couple of little questions for you. One Go is slightly it. Heavier than the other. Going back to Jackie magazine, you're right. It's iconic, right?
Yes.
If I went on eBay today and I'm not connected to the internet, would there be classic copies of Jackie magazine in very good condition that people would be buying and collecting?
Yes, I mean, they're hard
to
get.
There would be.
They're about,
exactly.
I think they're about 200 quid, 250 quid.
Wow, a copy. That's
and
a
the
bit
reason
pricey.
I know this was because 2 years ago
you sold yours.
they made a musical out of Jackie. I mean,
yeah.
it wasn't a musical about a magazine or somebody sitting there typing away on stage. They used the whole Jackie kind of nostalgic feeling and created a musical about a woman who was in her late 50s, who was at that kind of crossroads in life where her husband had dumped her and they're about to get divorced. And suddenly she's transported back to the Jackie era, where her happiest times were when she was a teenager reading Jackie magazine, and Jackie magazine had given her all the advice she needed at that point. And the music of the 70s. And it went down... I mean, it toured for 7 months around the UK, and
okay.
it was absolutely riotous. People standing, you know, jumping for joy, crying, laughing, singing. A bit like sort of Mamma Mia. It was one of those
yeah.
things that everybody
wow.
responded because it meant so much to them. And at that point, we had to try and get copies of Jackie to use in
yeah.
the production. And it was very hard to find them.
Yeah.
Well, the 250 quid is a lot to pay for a classic magazine, but I guess for people who love Jackie, and there's hundreds of thousands.
I've got a collection
of,
different kind of magazines,
yeah.
and they're quite
yeah.
expensive.
We don't need to know about that.
We're like Parade
the
and
pages
classic,
are yeah, troubles,
Men Only.
if you go on Amazon.co.uk, far cheaper than £250, mean Nina, is the Russ and Jono Breakfast Experience book.
The book,
a fine read for a penny.
Oh.
For a penny.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But then, of course, people know that your fans treasure you so much, and they would be so downhearted if they couldn't afford it. They've made it easier for them.
I love it. What a sell. Now, the second little question, which is slightly darker, is in the media, right, you've heard this story, okay?
Yeah.
This is not about an individual, but individuals. At the News of the World, where you were ensconced in the Murdoch empire for many, many years, that always was, and is it a rumour, a safe with stories full of celebrity stories that you were just waiting for them to die before you could print them.
Do you know, I'd heard that rumour too, and I could never actually clarify it or prove it one way or the other. Mm. I worked on the News of the World. After I worked on The Sun, I worked on the News of the World for 3 years as the television critic from 84 to 87.
Yeah.
And so my world was television more than the newspapers, although I had my office at the News of the World, and we made that move to Wapping, and it was all the whole revolution in print happened while I, you know, kind of on my watch, and we, you know, we were all bussed into this new building at Wapping through the picketing crowd. It was horrible. Mm. But so there was all of that drama going on. And frankly, I wasn't involved with those, you know, major buyouts, major stories. But I'm sure, I know that there are stories that were ready to go. And people like the PR Max Clifford, you know, would do trade-offs.
Yeah.
You know, don't print this. I'll give you another of my clients. I'll throw them to the wolves. Let you know, do this story, but protect this one. Because, I mean, mostly what, you know, what those big PRs were doing was actually keeping stories out of the papers rather than getting their clients in.
It's the same in sport. It's the same in sport. I do a lot of sport broadcasting. We hear the same stories.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Don't print that. Yeah. We'll give you this.
We used to have Piers Morgan used to come on our show and
Piers
Dorgan used to come on the show and do a gossip thing, and then
with no gossip. He was the editor in the News of the World. He's coming, Nina, on a Friday, and we go, "Oh, the latest gossip, Piers. What's on the front page?" He'd go, "Can't tell you.
Can't do that." He said, "I got a nice little Gazza story for you," or something like that. But he always used to talk about this legendary safe that couldn't be opened unless somebody had passed away, and there was, like, you know, the stories of Jimmy Savile and and the thing is that I was hoping one day there'd be my name pulled out of that safe, and but I think talking and I'd put it in there myself, of course, but yes. The other thing is when I found out that I had my prostate cancer, there was one person in the whole of the UK that I trusted with that story, and I got on the phone to Nina Mishkoff straight away, and I said, Nina, I want you to write the story because everyone else wouldn't take my calls, and Charlie Catchpole wasn't interested, and
is he still with us, Charlie?
I'm not sure. I remember I wrote Charlie Catchpole's column for him one week. I think you did it 1 week as well, maybe.
I did. I think we did it together
for the News of the World.
Bushel's column.
Yeah, or Gary Bushel. Yeah. I didn't trust Gary Bushel to write my prostate cancer. No, story.
I wouldn't trust him to cross the road, basically.
No, no. So, but Nina, you did
that
a fantastic job.
By the way.
That was Nina did it. You did a fantastic job breaking the story for me over here, and you did it in such a sensitive and lovely way, and a truthful way, and I will always, forever be indebted to you for that.
Well, Jono, I was absolutely honoured when you asked me to do that. And I thought the kind of medical aspect was the way to go. So we did it in the Daily Mirror medical section, and they were very thrilled to have it because, you know, you meant a lot to them, you mean a lot to them, and to their readers. And so to have that, it was also a very inspiring story of courage and you know, coming through an ordeal. And I think, you know, that they were very, I said, very happy to have that for their readers to really, really be uplifted.
I offered it to Penthouse and Playboy, as you know, and the Daily Star were only willing to do it if I went topless. And I said, no, Russ and I don't do that sort of thing
anymore. Well, we tried that. This is a true story, Nina. When we were doing the Russ and Jono show, they had a brilliant brainwave, the bosses, that we should do a naked photo that would be on a giant poster on the side of the A40, right, just by the old Lucasaid building and the flyover there.
Yeah.
So we went down to Southampton
and
we stripped off. I've got the Polaroids, and in fact, we'll put them on our Twitter feed.
Oh.
And basically, Jono had 105 over his nether regions, and I had a star with 0.8 over mine.
Yeah.
And the Advertising Standards Authority, when these ads were submitted, they said we cannot possibly subject the drivers of London to seeing Jono's rather unattractive physical bulk on the side of the road.
Yeah.
So they never happened.
And they liked the fact that Russ had, you know, point so-and-so, because they thought it was talking about appendage size.
Yes.
So, anyway, it
That's
never
a
happened.
True story.
But we
Nina,
used it.
Yeah. It's been great talking to you. Yeah. We interrupt you writing, and we do apologise. What's the piece you're writing right now?
I'm like Piers Morgan. I'm not allowed to say. I'm writing a piece for... I'm writing two pieces for The Times. One, I went to Italy to interview a major star.
Ooh.
And that's coming out as...
Male or female?
Male.
Yeah. And tomorrow I'm interviewing somebody else, and I'm interviewing three stars of the West End stage for Decca. And so on it goes, for heaven's sake. And I'm writing a travel piece about a cruise. But there was one thing I wanted to say. We were talking about age at the beginning of the of this little interview, and I said that Cher was 72, as indeed am I.
Yeah.
And I must tell you something, that Rick Wakeman purports these days to be 69. If you look at anything that says Rick Wakeman, it's also 69. He's been very clever. He is, in fact, the same age as me. We were born on the same day, May the 18th, 1972. Wow. And hilariously, I have watched him getting his, you know, younger and younger in terms of age as the years have gone by. But I'd like to put that out there.
Yeah. Did you say 1972 was the age that he was born?
May the 18th, 1946. Sorry.
Keep going, Nina. Keep going. We love your work. And thank you for being a friend of Jono and the Russ and Jono Rebooted podcast.
Thank you, darling.
Always.
And keep wearing keep wearing those lovely pink outfits and drinking the pink bubbly.
The pink matches my eyes.
Ah.
Wonderful. Nina Miskov.
Nina Miskov.
Thank you, Nina. Hey, she's lovely, right?
Yeah.
Still going strong.
Fantastic.
And she did a great job with the story about you. But she mentioned Rick Wakeman. Do you remember Rick Wakeman was on our show?
He was the coach.
He was one of the experiments.
Well, he was fantastic because I've always been...
the sports
I was a huge fan of Rick Wakeman. And yes, I went and saw Rick Wakeman. And yes, when they came to Australia, may have seen him four times. But anyway, one night there was a fire and everyone thought it was part of the show. It was like someone dropped a cigarette backstage or something. And all this smoke started coming. I go, don't worry, it's Rick Wakeman and his cape and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I never knew that Rick Wakeman was such a sport.
Big Manchester City fan.
Oh,
huge.
City.
I think he's living in Norwich or Norfolk now,
Because I think when he was the coach, didn't we used to call him on the Isle of Wight? Isle of Man.
Now, there would be a reason why Rick was there at the time, I think, and it might involve Her Majesty's HMRC.
I thought it was maybe to do with his love of motorcycles. I thought it was the motorcycle race.
Of course it was. I don't know why I mentioned the tax situation at all, but Rick Wakeman used to be the coach. I don't think he lasted for about 2 months and then fed up with getting early.
I think it was about 6 months.
Yeah, he used to come in his little tracksuit, didn't he?
Yeah, didn't we also used to speak to someone, this is like Russ and John are reminiscing about some of the people that used to come on the show. We talked about Piers Morgan, of course, used to turn up in a chauffeur-driven News Limited Daimler. The driver would wait
downstairs. He'd come in and say nothing.
And what did he have, Russ? He used to come in with a little piece of paper, no bigger than a cigarette paper, than a tally-ho paper.
Yeah.
And he'd go, got a little story about, he didn't talk like that, but I just thought, you know, I got a little story about, you know, Gazza. I got a little story about someone from EastEnders. Can't mention the name, though. Yeah. And then Russ would always say,
what's on the front page?
Can't tell you that.
Can't tell you.
You.
No, you have to buy the paper. So it was a bit of a one-way relationship. It'd be great to try and get him on a future podcast because Piers has done amazingly
Fantastically.
Some things have been brilliant. Good Morning Britain at the moment being one of them. CNN, not quite so great.
Who is
happens to all of us?
No, exactly. Look, we've all had
smooth.
I've taken things off my CV.
Yes,
I did a show. I did a show.
Never do that because you're always in the right.
Oh, that's true. But I did a show. I did a show in America once, which was a TV show called Born Lucky, and as it turned out, I wasn't.
Yeah, Russ and Jono Rebooted. It is the podcast. And you're very welcome. Let's have one of our beautiful 30-second edits put together sub 30 seconds in reality, just to make sure, because of the rules, that we don't have to pay a penny to play them.
Well, actually, Russ, I've done some research with the Russ and Jono Rebooted podcast, and you know now that all those charts and all those download charts and everything, they're saying the people around the world who listen to the Russ and Jono Rebooted podcast enjoy the 30-second music edits. People are busy. People don't have time. They don't have time to listen to a CD or an album.
Right.
You've got a 30-second, you've got your favourite song in there, and it just last for 30 seconds.
In fact, tweet us at Russ and Jono with your favourite classic rock song or song, and our producer will butcher it like you will never recognise it.
You'll never recognise Hotel California again.
Well, you love the music on the Russ and Jono breakfast experience all those years ago at Virgin Radio. We can't afford, as it stands at the moment, without a sponsor, but we're open to offers, to play more, any more than 30 seconds. Otherwise, we have to pay. And our producer is such a great editor. I mean, you'd never know. But, you know, I hope you enjoyed that.
Sometimes
anyway.
He leaves a finger in the edit. That's the only thing. Sometimes he cuts off a finger, throws that in there. But I tell you what, the thing is, with our really quick music edits, Russ, is that they're bijou. We don't mess around with lots of long songs or anything like that. No. We don't have those extra long songs like some of those radio stations do. What we do is we keep it tight and punchy. So you're getting prime quality beef, prime quality Russ and Jono Rebooted.
Yes, social media, we're on.
Oh,
Russ and Jono on Twitter. Some of our famous followers include Alistair Stewart, who, of course, was a guest with us a couple of podcasts ago. Yeah. Daniel Parker, celebrity booker for the BBC. Mm. Good old Daniel, we love him. Chris Mason, political correspondent, obviously comes here to escape the boredom of Brexit and the Houses of Parliament. Great to have you with us, Chris. Eamon Holmes, OBE, is with us. Eamon, top of the whatever time of day it is to you.
I got on a plane with Eamon Holmes once.
Did you?
It was me and Eamon Holmes going up to Belfast to do something for GMTV back in the day. And we got on this plane, and I'm a bit paranoid at the best of times. And then I noticed that the Reverend Ian Pearsley is also
no longer with us.
He's no longer with us. His son, of course.
Yes.
But this was the original senior, the Reverend Ian Pearsley. And he's got on with a couple of uniformed
gentlemen
from the constabulary. And Eamon says to me, "Don't worry, Jono. This will be the safest plane in the whole United Kingdom."
And was it?
Well, we're still alive.
Okay. Ben Atkins, Luke Sanford, Roger Russ, who gets involved in our Twitter feed, at Russ and Jono, RUSSANDJONO. Very, very simple. Ben Burrell, fellow broadcaster, works for Absolute Radio.
Fantastic.
Follows us, loves us. Nick Goodman, radio guru. Thank you for following us, Nick. Don't forget to share the link to as many of your radio buddies and websites that you can.
And also, I've got a
and Swithin Long. Follow us. What a great. I'm Swithin Long. Thank you very much indeed. No, we can't have a new news.
No, we can't. Well, we could also, when we're on holiday, you know, we're away, we get holiday cover in, you know, that they do on those breakfast TV
Swithin
shows.
Swithin Long.
Swithin Long.
Yes. Fenton Plunger.
Yeah. And what was Swithin the other? Long. What was the other one when you went to the bathroom? You also see that piece.
Armitage Shanks. Edward Sisson's hands tells me he nearly changed his name to Armitage Shanks with Shankar Ghoulis.
Well,
but it was the Shank and Shankar that swung it that he wasn't going to do it.
Wow.
But I tell you what, talking of those two, it's time for the news.
Oh.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. How are you doing, Shankar?
Shankar. Well, I'm absolutely fantastic. I did have a bit of problem this morning getting through the London traffic.
Did you?
Unbelievable, because I got one of those Ubers, then I found out he was unlicensed, and then we had to change cabs, and then we got on one of those little pedal things.
Was Sadiq Khan in the boot?
Yes, he offered to show me his Sadiq, and I said, no, there's no need for that.
I say thank you very much
indeed. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay, let's have a look at the headlines in the Telegraph. My God, we're going up market. Mm. The world's newest cult religion hold their first press conference. The Holy Order of the Frisbees, who practice reincarnation, believe that when you come back, you land on a garage roof or get taken away by a dog and get hidden under a bush at the bottom of the garden. Thank you very much indeed.
And also, news, of course, in the news, hardly a day goes by without hearing from the current president of the United States of America, Mr. Donald Trump. And it seems that Ivanka Trump...
I what?
Ivanka Trump. Oh,
okay. Is that his ex-wife?
Yes, his ex-wife. She always used to say, I want a holiday, I want a trunk.
A Trump.
She said she confirmed the fact that Donald, in fact, was a complete and total wanker.
Okay.
And new book, so look out for that.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. I tell you, it's great to be back working with you. One more headline.
Oh, yes.
It's from our favourite paper, the Daily Star.
The Daily Star.
And headline reads, Met Police revealed they've recovered nearly 4 kilos of cannabis with a street value of well over £1 million.
Wow.
Which means they must be paying much more for it than the rest of us.
Thank you very much indeed.
Well, there they go. Highly unusual. Edward Sisson's hands and Shankar Ghoulies. And sounding a little bit like us, which is ridiculous.
No, it's nothing to do with us. In fact,
separate individuals.
The lawyers have said that we have nothing to do with Edward and Shankar. They work for a completely different empire.
Absolutely. And to the lawyers that work for us, we'd like to say... Thank you very much indeed. Yes, thank you. That is it for this podcast.
Oh.
Thank you for listening. We've had guests. We've had crap edits, some reminiscing. At Russ and Jono, get involved. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter. Let everyone know because we're trying to build up a following.
Yes.
Maybe one day we'll get our own radio show.
We want a cult following, and we did say cult.
We are a couple of cults. It says on our Twitter profile.
In fact, a number of people that I used to work with on different radio stations, I was going to say Duff radio station, but different radio stations.
I think it's a fair comment.
The lovely Erica North sends her love.
Ah, Erica.
She's enjoying it. And also Harriet Scott,
who
works,
I think,
Harriet. With Ronan Keating.
Yes. Love is a roller coaster. So they tell me. Good old Ronan.
If you're doing it the right way.
Anyway, time to go.
Okay. Well, it has been another Russ and Jono rebooted podcast. And as I always say, knock, knock, knock that naughty clock that says it's time to go. It's time. Our time has passed. It goes so fast. And now we'll end our bloody good show. See ya!